Sounds good. Sounds good in here.
Yeah. I like it. A little too quiet, like if you're eating or something. It's.
Oh, you can really hear
yeah.
the sound? Just.
Yeah, like I got to put some background music on or something when I eat because it's like, fuck.
All right. We are recording Breckening Podcast Interview Time. I'm here with Mark Randall, and we are in Fort Worth's newest, swankiest recording studio, Blackstone FW. Is that part of the name or just Blackstone?
Just Blackstone.
Blackstone.
Yeah, one word.
Here in the outskirts, outside Lake Arlington, semi parts unknown.
Right.
But this is your new venture.
Yeah, yeah. So
explain.
I mean, a lot of people know me as the live sound guy, you know, from Mass and now Lola's. But not too many people know that, you know, before I did any live sound, I was a studio guy. Went to school for it.
Okay.
And ever since I went to school, that's all I've done occupationally. It was great getting into live sound. That kind of fell in my lap. That's a story for another day, maybe. But, you know, once I started doing live sound, it kind of consumed me in a way. Mm. So the studio kind of took a back burner. You know, gear went in the closet. Wasn't really doing more than maybe a project a year. Mm. And it was difficult to achieve one at that. So kind of had the opportunity to start getting back into this, which I've always wanted to. So then, you know, I got to talking with Nick Tittle, who's my business partner and producer here at Blackstone.
Nick Tittle of Arenda Light.
Yes, yeah. Of Arenda Light. And the Nancy's and formerly of Polydogs.
I'll get to him eventually.
Yeah. So we got to talking and we ended up, you know, deciding that we really wanted to do this. And long story short, started looking at places, found this place. It kind of lended itself to be, you know, in a way gutted and turned into a studio. We love our location. You feel like you're out of town, but you're really maybe 20 minutes from downtown Fort Worth.
I feel like I don't know where I'm at right now because this is just so, one, obviously the place is new, but it is just, I've been in rehearsal spaces.
Right.
And I've you know, maybe been in a recording studio a couple of times. But I've never been anything like this. This is just, like, this is what you see.
Cheers.
Like, in a documentary or something. I don't know. I just never been this close to, you know, where the magic happens.
Right.
Like, you got piano over there, corner for the drum set. It's just, also, like, I like the design. This, it's like, damn, I want to live here.
Cheers. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you say that. It's not uncommon for me to come up here. You know, late night and just sitting here and watch TV for a while and just enjoy the space.
Yeah.
But you know,
I got the keys, goddammit. I'm gonna
break
this bitch in.
Exactly. You know, I got some beers in the fridge. Why not?
Mm.
But when Nick and I were talking about doing all this, we really wanted to focus on the design.
Okay.
And the aesthetic, and because everybody knows the studios where, you know, you go in and you got the guy that's recording you in one room and the guy that's being recorded, you know, maybe down the hall in another room even, and you're looking at him on a screen or something like that. And it's important for the two to communicate in a process like that. And we wanted to kind of bring back the old school, big live room, big piece of glass. You can look at each other through it. And
they can look at you and you can give them the thumbs up or the thumbs down.
Right. And that can come back.
Or you're clicking along. You're like, this is a hit. This is it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so any of the sort, any of those, you know, clips in your head that play when you think of old school, you know, recording.
I was thinking of that Eddie Murphy video Party All the Time. Just like now everyone's in there. Rick James there. It's like, oh yeah, this
exactly.
is a hit. It's almost a party going on, but Eddie's also laying down vocals. So.
Right. And that, you know, that scene is I'm glad you said that, because that's often what happens in situations in here.
Mm.
You know, you'll have the band in the back scrutinizing, and then they get it, and it's take 34, and they nail it, and everyone's like, oh, shit, finally we can go
thank
home.
God. Yeah, God, we're done.
And then sometimes it's just an improvative sort of thing, and everyone's like, holy shit, that's perfect. That changes the whole the whole idea of the fucking song. So, you know, recording's a very interesting world in itself, but we just wanted to bring back, you know, aesthetically and with the flow of the building, kind of that old school way of working. So, and so far it's been really good for us. So
nice. How long, when did this open?
So we opened in January. Okay. I believe the 22nd is when our official grand opening was.
Just a few months old.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, just a few months old. We got the place about the same time in 2022. So it took all of a year to build the place out. So,
Obviously, I know y'all had like an open house kind of a thing, right?
Yeah, just a little get together.
Because obviously, this place is, you know, there's not minimal, you know, people walking around, even, you know, kind of we're on the outskirts.
Right.
But yeah, and you know, pictures and everything. I wish people could see this. Fuck you, because this place, I want to hang out here.
Yeah,
this
I know.
I know you. I could, you know, probably do that every once in a while, but just, I'm like, this is just nice.
Right.
It's like a upscale bar almost. It kind of looks like the usual if it was a recording studio.
Yeah. Well, and that, again, was really, really important for us to achieve that when we did the build out of this, mm-hmm. because, you know, remembering Eagle Audio and Jerry Hudson, I mean, I would get done at Mass. Eagle Audio was a block away and across the street, yeah. not even. We would be over there till 2, 3, 4 in the morning, just sitting in Jerry's office, hanging out, listening to, you know, the Beatles or hearing stories about him on the road. So,
and he was around a long time. He did pass away, right?
He did pass.
Okay, but he, Eagle Audio, long established.
Yeah, 32 years.
32, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, rest in peace, Jerry, but he was definitely influence for what we're doing over here.
Yeah, see, I didn't know, like, I never went to Eagle Audio, but anytime they would have like Art Scoggle or something, you could see his guys out because they had the shirts.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And so I knew about it. I was just like, okay, but you know, not being clued into, you know, the inner workings of the music scene, didn't know like where that was, but that's just a whole different world.
Yep, I
which
did.
Which I love, like, you know, love, you know, buddies in rehearsal spaces. The first time I walked into like a rehearsal space where, you know, people rent out rooms, not just like, you know, Carney's, you know, friends abandoned building. Which is great because it's probably cheaper and you can just jam and practice everything. But when you need to, like, you have a place with multiple rooms.
Right.
It's just, it's weird. It's kind of, it's almost like a, like an apartments, but not like it's because it's open 24/7, you know, the place with multiple rooms, like a pro rehearsal where I'll go to. But it's so, you know, just being a, like a connoisseur and consumer of music, you don't know, you know, you never get those rare peeks behind the curtain. And once you like know some friends with people in a band and, you know, you can go to like a rehearsal space like that, you can kind of see like, man, you guys just hang out and have fun. And it's kind of refreshing because, you know, it's something I have to get, like, you know, get at a comedy show or at a bar or you're just, but even that, you don't know exactly who's going to be there.
Right.
But like rehearsal spaces, you kind of do.
Yeah.
Then you get, you know, and you just, I'm fascinated by it because it's a whole different world. And
it is. It's,
and there's people in their element too, because they're practicing writing.
Well, I mean, for a lot of creatives, when we're creating, I mean, it's the most happiest we kind of ever are.
Yeah.
And you as a comedian, I'm sure, can relate to that. I mean, being on stage, I'm sure, is incredibly thrilling to you, you know, in a way that you don't really get in other ways in life, you know, which is kind of why we do what we do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we search for that and we like it. And it's kind of, I mean, if we're not making our art for ourselves first, then what are we doing, right?
Just whores.
Right, exactly. And there's plenty of that.
Oh, yeah. And I always like a joke. I have to like the joke. And, you know, jokes don't always have to be like evergreen where I can say them at any point in time, but I like when they are.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of if you're at a certain level, you can do a joke about whatever's trending on Twitter.
Uh huh.
And then that weekend, you know, film your sets and you can jam in this new joke and then film it, clip it, put it up on your Instagram, you know, reel, whatever. Yeah. And then never do the joke again because you have that platform.
Right.
But when comics below that make like a joke for, I find it weird when comics want to make a joke about just the trending thing that might have 3 weeks of life on it. and some legs only around then, when I'm like, okay, cool, you want this joke that's going to be like irrelevant in a couple of months?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I had a joke about monkeypox, but even I knew, I'm like, at some point this...
It's going to end.
You know, the sensation around it's going to die down.
Yeah.
And then I need to not do this joke anymore because it's not going to be as relevant.
Yeah.
Or if something's way... Like, I do a joke about watching the O.J. Simpson verdict in fifth grade. But that's... And I know it's ballsy doing O.J. jokes now, it's camped in the, you know, the story of me in fifth grade.
Right.
So I can do it.
So it has meaning, deep meaning to you first and foremost. So.
And it's not about just like the latest thing, some like the latest dumb thing a celebrity said, which I'm just like, cool, you realize someone else is going to say something dumb or and people are going to be paying attention to that.
Sure. Well, one of the interesting things that I've noticed about, you know, watching you at Mass over the years is how, you know, you may do the same set or a similar set to what you did the last time I saw you, which, you know, back in those days could have been a week, not necessarily a month or 2 months. But it was interesting to me how you would evolve those same jokes according to what was going on today. You know, same joke, but you would tinge it or tilt it or I don't know how you would say it to fit, you know, what happened last week or what's about to
happen. Throwing like a tag that.
Yeah. Kind of keeping it relevant in a way.
Something about, you know, that just happened. It's current, but it fits what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
That way. And you can, you know, catch things in like that. That's fine.
Right.
But when your whole premise is based off something where the clock's ticking down.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why? Like, I had a comic. He was like, hey, I need, you know, I can't think of a joke about this thing. And it literally was something like trending on Twitter. I'm just like, so you want to make a joke that about the thing everyone's making, every hack's making a joke about.
Exactly.
We're at this shitty open mic in Dallas and this is where you want to try it out. I'm like, why don't you actually try thinking of something?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I hate when people, the creative process I can see in their head is so cheap.
Yes.
Like, I want to make a joke about the thing everyone's joking about, and I hate when I see that. Just like, and I get sometimes things are too big, like when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. It's just like, well, fuck, all right, what's gonna be my version of
this? Do you feel like you almost have to say something?
It feels
about
like
it?
Fucking homework sometimes.
Okay.
And it feels like when you had a class and you had a teacher, the first thing they're like, you know, you had a thing you did right at the beginning of class for like the first 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like your daily,
like ease you into it.
Daily thing. Yeah. That you have to do. It feels like that. And I'm like, I don't like comedy that way. There's already no pressure on myself to try to get booked and, you know, develop jokes and work them out in my own way. And, you know, something that, you know, I really like, I like something I like having come out of my mouth and finding that middle ground between me and the audience of like, this is my humor.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can match your humor and we invoke the laughter.
Yeah.
And I can invoke better laughter and kind of know, all right, you know, and finding that awesome, that's the magic part of comedy, is finding that middle ground between you and these strangers.
Sure.
And hopefully you have the right collection of strangers and you say your jokes and convey them and execute them in a way to where, you know, when the show's over, you're satisfied with yourself. You're almost like proud of yourself because it's like I didn't cheap out on any of this. I didn't do any of this basic bullshit that, you know, it's just, you know, I'm like, oh, what, I did that, I don't, it's like, oh, I told that joke again and I fucking hate that joke, but it works,
right?
Like
self-inflection.
Yeah. Oh, I hate when, you know, there's comics that, you know, oh, I like, you know, I do this, they don't like the joke but it works, and it could almost come out of any comic's mouth. And that's like with me with comedy. I love, you know, the personality of the comedian on stage. If the personality is relatable or just is fun, or, you know, there's something intriguing about that personality, then the comedy that flows is even better.
Well, because as a non-comedian, it seems like all the good comics that most people would consider good do that. Mm-hmm. They totally have a personality. And it's that one thing, and they have crowds of people, you know, that specifically really like that one thing about that person. And I love that. You know, Robin Williams, I feel, was like that. You know, not too many people can do what Robin Williams did. Mm. And I feel like, you know, most comedians on that level are that, you know, and that's really fascinating to me. Whereas, you know, with music, sometimes you see, you know, this guy is playing in a country band and then he's in a metal band. You know, it's multiple kind of identities, but it's I don't know, you can relate that with proficiency and stuff like that too. But, oh, there's that hit that I took. There it is. Let me reel it back in here.
This is, we are recording on April 20th.
Nice.
So
nice.
That just coincidentally worked out that way.
Okay.
I always had this thing, and obviously I already failed this year, and the older I get, the more dumb it sounds, but I've always wanted to do this on 420.
Yeah.
Is when it becomes midnight, April 20th, smoke some weed.
Yeah.
All right. It doesn't matter. Any amount. And I recommend anybody do this on 4. I think this is like the best way to do 420. And then you'd probably have to set an alarm or, you know, however you live your nights. 4 hours and 20 minutes later, 420 a.m., smoke some more weed. And maybe to make it simple, like smoke a bowl. Maybe two, whatever. 4 hours and 20 minutes after that at 8:40 a.m., smoke some more weed. And then as a clean reset, noon. And you can take naps in between and all this. Noon,
but yeah, you're
smoke
gonna have
more,
to.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You gotta sleep at some point. But to stay pretty high all day long, 24 complete hours. Noon, smoke some more weed. 4:20 p.m., smoke weed. 8:40 p.m., smoke weed. And then like 11:59, it's okay if you hit 12 a.m. again,
yeah,
midnight, smoke some more weed. And I think that would keep you decently high all day. You might have to call into work.
Well, yeah, unless you're, you know.
Unless you have the lifestyle.
There's
and
those
a
people
career
out there.
That
yeah.
can, you can marry the two, which I don't know, when it was like my mid-20s where I'm just like, I'm not wasting weed on work anymore.
Right.
And I kind of do the same. I can't say 100%. I kind of do the same thing with comedy where I'm just like, I don't, you know, I try not to like drink or, you know, I've just been cutting down my drinking in general, but I'm just like, all right, I don't want to drink or smoke weed before comedy and even also work.
Right.
So I'm just like, that's fun time.
Yeah.
Zero or minimal responsibility time. Then I'll do my intoxicants.
Well, that was Louis's bit. I was like, I love drugs. I love drugs. So I don't do them. Because then when I do them, it's really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, and I get that.
Oh, yeah. And when I worked at Freebirds World Burrito.
Yeah.
I worked with these people. I called them burnouts one day. And I meant every syllable of it. And it was because these guys, they're like 19 and 20. I get you can't like really go to the bar yet, but they sounded like heroin fiends and they acted like it because they couldn't find any weed to buy. They didn't have, they're too broke to buy any, or they couldn't find it. They would come in high, or if they couldn't get their fucking weed fix.
Right.
Then it was like they were shitty employees, and I was, you know, the shift manager, and I was just like, you know, trying to, you know, be responsible to some degree, and I was just like, are you guys fucking dumb? Oh, of course you are. I'm like, why can't you come in, put in an honest shift of work, and go home and smoke weed?
Yeah.
Why do you have to, one, because like when I would wait tables, and sometimes, you know, smoke a bowl and go wait tables, get there at 5, a little high, all right, do it. And next thing you know, it's 7:30, we're busy as fuck. And then I'm coming down from being stoned, and I'm just like, oh, fuck, I'm at work.
Yeah.
And I really don't have time, nor would I probably want to go smoke weed again. And, you know, come up to my tables freshly reeking of weed.
Yeah, you're stuck.
But then that's when I realized, oh, just come to work sober, then minimize any mistakes. Yeah. If you make a mistake, oh, it was sober and it was honest.
Yeah.
And then after work, go home and get high.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Everybody's gone out and done like a hard ass day outside, you know, especially being in Texas. And then, you know, you come in, you take a shower that feels amazing, and you sit down and then you crack that beer or that shot. Man, that's one of the best feelings in the world. I don't care who the fuck you are.
I remember one day, it was like maybe I was outside or it was just a hot day, and first time in a long time, I was like, man, the only thing that's going to help is a cold beer.
Yeah.
And I went to like chat room. I think I was like working all day or something like that. And it was just, and I just had this cold beer and I was like, oh,
Because, I mean, if you wait,
I hit the spot.
If you go through your day, you know, and you wait, it's almost like, you know, because if you drink like I do, or like, you know, maybe you did in the past or whatever, I mean, it's like a whole nother day. You know, it's like your work self, your day self, and then your drunk self, and it's like a whole nother party. But if you meld them together, like you said, it all kind of sucks.
Yeah, you can't, it cheapens both.
Yeah, yeah. You like, don't get that party at the end.
I didn't, it was like around December, January. I took like a 6-week break from smoking weed.
Nice.
And then, so my goal, and I think I did this, not sure, because maybe I was even waiting to buy it because I didn't have any to smoke at home. But yeah, I waited till the Super Bowl. And it was like early January, and I was just like, you know what? I'm getting low on weed, but, you know, I'm going to go get some. I was like, all right, I'll wait till the Super Bowl where I'm hanging out with my friends. Yeah. We're just going to, you know, order some wing stock, smoke some weed. Yep. No, I did. Okay, I remember, yeah. And it was about like a 6-7 week break from smoking weed.
Wow.
And then, you know, also it helped that I wasn't like drinking, because, you know, to me,
yeah,
it's like the
sure.
snowball effect of like going out drinking, you know, whether I'm, you know, just got off work or out doing comedy.
Sure.
Drink and then go home and overcorrect with the weed to get to sleep, because alcohol is going to affect the sleep, but the weed can help me put me to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm just constantly overcorrecting. And then maybe I'm eating too late at night, you know, which I did last night, the night before, the night before. Yeah, well, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. I do it all the time. It sucks.
But I was like, oh, wait, I can cut all this out if I just cut back on the drinking, which helps, because then I'll go home and won't need to smoke weed, and I can go to bed naturally, which is a whole weird thing in and of itself.
Yeah.
And then I also won't be eating late at night, you know, and that can help me. I've been trying to, you know, lose some pounds.
Nice.
But
nice.
I'm just like, okay, I can just cut it all off, you know, cut out the drinking, then I won't want or need to smoke weed.
Yep.
Or self-medicate, as people love to say and believe they do.
Sure,
so
sure.
I'm like, eh. And then, you know, I won't eat late, and, you know, my metabolism can get somewhat structured out. But man, I was there, and I got to my buddy's place, and then I remember holding that blunt in my hand. I was just like, this is the first hit of weed I'm gonna have, and I think it was like six, seven, 8 weeks. And him, my buddy and his roommate, our other friend, they were just like, what? Because they smoke every day.
Yeah.
You know, they put, and they're both in the film industry. They go put in long 12-hour days, and they come home and they fucking earn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once in a blue moon, if they're on a set, you know, still working hard, someone happens to have like a pen or something, they'll smoke weed on the job.
For sure. Like we all do.
Yeah. But they both were like, what? I was like, yeah, I just took a break. I was like, and I waited for, you know, I was like, I knew I'd be here hanging out with you guys for like 8 hours, you know, chain smoking blunts.
Yeah.
And there, I was just like, oh yeah, that's nice.
Oh, I thought it was great.
Oh yeah. Like 2020, when I got back to work, our old job came back with the new agency and all this.
Right, right.
I took like about a 6-month break from smoking weed.
What was that like? I'm just curious.
Oddly
easy. I haven't
easy.
Done that since I was 14.
It was, well, so the old job of slinging cigarette coupons, we got back to work in July.
Okay.
And it's, you know, I wasn't, you know, doing much, you know, rare comedy show here and there. When, you know, everyone's being cautious and everything, not really hanging out. And I think it was maybe around August. So we got back to work, and then they're like, hey, you can work full time.
Oh, cool.
And we weren't working at bars. We were just working in gas stations.
Yeah,
because
were bars open then again?
No, I don't think so. Not really. Because we didn't get back into bars till May of 2021.
Okay.
And a few months before that, they were kind of opening back up, you know.
Right.
So August 2020, they're like, hey, you can work 40 hours a week. We're just in gas stations.
Okay.
So that's, you know, 8 hours, you know, 5 days a week. You know, and I was like, and I'm off by like 8 p.m., maybe 9, but 8.
Because you used to be out most of the night.
Yeah. We get off at 2
routinely.
But this, I was like, oh, and so like for August until the end of 2020, I was kind of working, you know, not 9 to 5, but 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, you know, paid well per hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't doing too much in the comedy world, you know, show here and there.
Right.
Open mics might be popping up or whatever. Everyone was complaining, just like, super spreader, super spreader. And it was just like, oh. I kind of want to say that shit. I'd love to like comment now.
Yeah, do it.
April 20th, 2023, of just like anything that someone's happening, and just be like, "Huh, nice super spreader." Someone would be like, "Are you saying? Did you just say that?" That's got to be a bit. But so because I had this routine, now I say I stopped smoking weed. I would go home, and this was like I rarely, if ever, drink at home.
Sure.
But because I wasn't going out, you know, for my job, that would take me to bars, and we would definitely have some drinks while worked. Sometimes I'm just like, yeah, not tonight.
Yeah.
But you know, and being in, you know, doing comedy and being in bars, definitely, you know, might have some drinks.
Yeah.
I started drinking at home. So at my job, I'm fueled by, you know, I get cheap, high quality cigarettes.
Yeah.
I got to kind of stay at home, you know, at home with my lady and our roommate who lives with us then. And so, you know, as human beings, I can interact with at home.
Right.
But then I would just also just stay up late.
Yeah. Well, and I'm drink.
Well, before March to June, when I was just raking in that sweet unemployment plus $600.
Oh, man. Yeah. Hell yeah.
That was when okay. But also I would have like a drink or two at home.
So you weren't going crazy at home.
No. Well, okay. I had to like, you know. Yeah, wake up the next day. Yeah. But if it was like, you know, a Friday, Saturday night, and I definitely had nothing to do the next day because, you know, just, you know, we didn't have much of a social life. But I would, you know, go out on like my front porch or hang out in the driveway with the whiskey. And I found a whiskey that I kind of liked. And I don't think bars really have it because I found it at a liquor store near my house. And I'll tell you the name, and it's obvious why I got it. I was just looking at different whiskeys.
Is it Fireball?
Texas Ranger whiskey.
Texas Ranger. Yeah, that is definitely you. You would buy that.
One, being a Texan baseball fan, I was like, oh, I got to get this. And I actually really enjoyed it. It's just got a little tinge of sweetness to it.
Well, and I was sitting here wondering, like, okay, so he's sitting out there in his driveway with a bottle of whiskey.
I poured it in a glass. I wasn't a hobo.
Oh, well, but then when you said what kind of whiskey it was, it all made sense, you know, so.
I go in, you know, I don't think I mixed it with anything, but, you know, go in, a couple ice cubes, go in, and I would have like two or three drinks a night, but just go outside, chain smoke, and then pop on a podcast. So I'm just outside listening to a podcast, like not even headphones, just I've set it like on the trunk of my car.
Yeah.
And just, I'm just sitting there just to.
Like in a folding chair or.
No, I would just stand. I'm a big stander. I don't know, I'm used to standing.
I love this story.
And so that way to at least kind of have like this, a little bit of a sense of normalcy.
Yeah.
You know, you text with friends and whatnot. I didn't get so, you know, I didn't like do like Zoom calls with some friends or whatnot.
Right.
Because I'm like, I can text. I'm a guy. You know, we just text.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just like, you good?
We don't have to look at each other.
But just to kind of replicate the outgoingness that I was used to, mm-hmm. comedy and, you know, just socially and my job, I was like, all right. And then my girlfriend fall asleep. And I'm just like, well, all right, I'm going to be up for a while. I'm not smoking weed. And, you know, for whatever reason, I didn't have to. I didn't get drug tests or anything. But I was like, my routine became drink some at home, go outside, smoke, drink, and just pop on a podcast.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, just like there was this odd routine for like 4 months.
And the whiskey.
Yeah, yeah, with the Texas Ranger whiskey.
Yeah.
And whatever else we had. Because we still got plenty of liquors at home that go untouched and haven't been touched for years. Just because my girlfriend might, you know, open a White Claw here and there.
Right.
Or some wine that she happened to bring home from work or something.
Right.
But that's where I had to adapt, you know.
Out of the weed. And
when I was working, Texas I was like whiskey. Working like an adult for, you know, one of those rare times in my life.
Right.
You know, 40 hours a week. I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll do what my forefathers did and come home and drink. But it was like, I actually had fun doing it because I'm there. I remember one time, it was just pouring rain outside, you know, not like a thunderstorm, nothing dangerous, but it was just pouring rain. And I was just like, all right, well, it's going to be hard to listen to a podcast outside. So I was just outside with my whiskey, my smokes, and I just busted on. I was like, man, what would fit right? I was just like, ZZ Top.
Yeah. Yeah. We all get in the.
It was like a one-man party. Just. Yeah. And it was like the most fun I've had. Like, I've rarely had fun at bars. I was there.
Does anybody have fun at bars?
The older you get, if you do, I don't know what
Right.
I don't know what you're doing.
That's a good point.
You might be a predator if that's the case, but there's, you ever been to a bar and you see some bars I don't like going to because it's like, oh, I've aged out.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
The clientele's turned over. Like, you went there, and you, there are people, your friends there, you're all around the same age, a lot of mm-hmm. same interests, and people just end up moving away, just getting older, may not go out that much. And then you go into that bar and you're just like, oh, everybody's 15 years younger than me.
Yeah.
This is,
Yeah.
There's that, like, Boiled Owl. That's the way I feel about the Boiled Owl. I've always, you know, went there plenty of times.
Yeah, I don't feel that way quite yet, but I get it. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There's also, like, a bar in Arlington where, you know, where the clientele is just, like, super young, has to be, like, 22, 23, and there's a guy there. It's got to be in his late 40s. And anytime I pop in that bar, I'm like, okay, oh, he's here? It's like, yeah. Dude, get a life, or you're just a creep.
Right. Oh, my God.
But, some bars, just you're just, like, out of nowhere. And I know way too much about bars. But, thankfully, I know this because I got paid to go to them.
Right.
But the bar in Arlington called Milo's, and out of nowhere, they got this fucking, they remodeled. And maybe word got out about it. There was this, like, this place that you could go. You know, they had, you know, a couple pool tables, ping pong table.
Right.
You know, all right, little patio.
Normal shit.
And they just got this flood of young people. It literally, you know, I went there for years. Know the door guy, Gage. And I was, you know, talked to him about it. And we'd also, you do those things, like, theorize about why is this happening. Like,
yeah,
why
yeah,
is it
yeah.
busy? Why is it not? You know, we were talking about, you know, why is, you got this massive young crowd at this bar, and we would kind of theorize, oh, maybe they got tired of this other bar, and, you know, there's plenty of people, like, going
yeah,
to UTA.
Yeah, something maybe closed, or
but it's
they
straight
migrated.
Up, with me being 38, and, you know, bartenders being, you know, late 30s, early 40s, you're just like, it looked like, was it the first episode, one of the first episodes of It's Always Sunny, where they just start serving all the underage kids?
Yep.
Because it looks like that.
Yeah, oh, God. Yeah, see, I like Sunny, but I would never want to be in that bar. Ever.
Oh, I know. It if Patty's existed, it would be in West Fort Worth.
Oh, totally.
At a shithole bar you do not want to step into.
Like, just right over the border into Arlington, that's almost, you know. No, it wouldn't be in Arlington. It'd be in Haltom City.
Yeah.
That's what, right?
Yeah.
Haltom City all day long.
Or something like Garland.
Shout out to the Methinks.
And so yeah, this bar, like, the older I get, the less lure that they have for me, which it is a young man's game, though.
Yeah.
It's a young person's game to want to go to these bars and just drink all the drinks, do all the shots, and you don't have to worry about Tums.
Yeah.
And just the acid reflux that might come with that. Because that was great, you know, getting older and just kind of like having your doctor tell you, like, oh, these numbers need to come down. You're like,
yeah.
I know. And after a certain point, you're like, okay, I'm going to get these numbers down.
Yeah.
And if I just cut out the drinking, then I can cut all these other things, too.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Getting healthy, though. It's punk rock, baby.
It's, yeah. it's neo-punk all over again.
I have started going for developing a walk routine. Just something simple. I time myself out. If I do it right, I leave the house, and I'm back at the house in an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can do that.
So you're not really looking for a distance. You're just looking for an amount of time that you're walking.
Time, well, and I got my route down.
Okay.
And that'll equal, I don't know, it's around like 5,000, 6,000 steps.
Nice.
The 10,000 is like, you know, 10,000 is like 5 miles. So it's, you know, I don't know, a little over 2.5 miles that I'm doing.
Yeah, that's solid.
But I'm like, and I can't develop a workout routine. I don't stick to it. But walking, I can do that.
Sure.
I can walk, motherfucker. I can walk.
Well, because you can think a lot easier, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, while you're walking than you can when you're,
oh, yeah.
you know, pushing weights around.
That,
and dealing
looking
with
around.
People in a gym, you
know. You're traveling, technically.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
Just popping the
going
AirPods,
places.
Listen to a podcast. Yesterday, I waited until the Ranger game started, and because I can't. Our satellite provider doesn't have, you know,
oh,
the channel
not.
The Rangers are on, so I was
right.
like, well. All right, well, cool. I'll take this opportunity. I'm going to wait till the Ranger game starts and immediately step out the door and then listen to the game. Nice. So I can, you know, at least combine my interests.
Yeah.
You know, and be healthy, I guess.
Yeah.
But if I can do that, the walking, yeah, and then develop a good sweat.
Yeah.
Because I don't sweat enough.
No,
I don't think
so.
Not just from physical, you know, exertion.
Yeah.
Because I'm just, you know, but you feel better. I remember the first time, you know, you ever been in a sauna?
Oh, yeah.
The first time I went, my buddies were hanging out our friend's apartment pool. Uh-huh. And just happened to have a sauna. And I was like, oh, I've never done this.
How was that? Yeah.
So we got, you know, Blaze beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
And so we go in the sauna. I've never been in one before. We go in there. I'm not sweating. And I'm just kind of like, what is going on? My buddy Jared's there. He goes, what is wrong with you, man? I go, I don't know.
So
I sweat.
They were sweating?
Like, I sweat as a human being plenty. But I was like, in the sauna, I was just like, I don't know. Was something wrong? I don't know. So I got out, you know, probably went back in the pool or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then got back in the sauna. I'm like, I'm going to try this again. And then the floodgates just opened. And it was almost like an out of body.
You've never sweat before in your life.
Yeah, and I was like, why am I? I'm like a little sticky, but I could not see beads of sweat. And my buddy Jared's just, you know, full on, like, looks like a human being in a sauna.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I what's wrong? I want to be that. I know what sweating looks like. But then when I went back in a second time, it was just like, oh, I was just like, oh, this is amazing.
Huh.
I get it. It's like a free drug. This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, all steamy, and yeah, you just feel good sitting in there.
Yeah, that's why those cultures, you know,
think about your life.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
And you go for a schwitz. I need to find a health club or something like that. Or I could just sit outside for 30 minutes in a month or two.
Yeah.
What's the fun in that?
I mean, I don't know. Probably none.
No. I'm not looking forward to it. It's already getting, it's all, these, like today, it's, you've seen outside the sky today, right? It is just the most unpleasant gray, fog, smog, overcast, I want to kill myself vibe out there.
Yeah.
This is a day to be inside, and thank God we are right now. But Jesus, like driving here, I was just like, what is this? This looks gross.
It's like the War of the Worlds color.
Yeah.
Like, and I know that's not very specific, but to me it is. You know what I mean?
Where it's like shit's been blown up, so there's like...
It's like it's wet everywhere.
Particulate dust in the air.
Yeah, because like I came from up north down 35 today, and when I came over the hill and saw downtown, I was like, what in the fuck? It just was like... It reminded me of War of the Worlds. Like, I expected one of those things to come out of the fog.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. It was just like... You didn't know if it was fog or dust, but it went all the way down to the ground and all the way up to the clouds.
Wait, it's 420. Maybe just millions of people are smoking.
It's all weed smoke. It's all weed smoke. We're affecting the weather with all of our fucking...
Oh, no.
Chiefing.
Greta's going to yell at us.
Oh, well.
You must stop smoking weed.
She's
going to
be
she?
A great husband someday. That face.
I think we'd smell it though if my theory was correct, and that would be awesome. But no,
maybe, you know, maybe it just happened overnight, and we're so immune to it now. It's just like, you know, when you're cooking.
I need to see if like Pete Delkus can explain this shit that's going on, because I hate
so high right now.
I hate overcast days. Yeah. There's something about, I would rather the pure blackness of a thunderstorm that's going to wreck shop.
Yeah.
Or, you know, cloud, sun, you know, the thing that makes people happy. But overcast, like you go out there and you're like, the second I walk outside and it's overcast, I'm just like, I'm not getting anything done today.
No.
This is the most demotivating color scheme that planet Earth can produce.
Yeah.
Like I might as well also be in the desert. Overcast in the desert, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it just turns into a sick day. Like,
yeah.
I do all the things that I would do if I was homesick. It's just overcast is all.
It's overcast, you're like, might as well heat up some soup.
Yeah, exactly.
Just going to lean into this.
Soup, ramen, pajamas all day, movies.
Blanket, yeah.
Movies, not TV series. You know, those little specific
nothing
things.
Serialized, just...
yeah, Yeah.
Just a simple narrative to make me forget.
The cat's going to love it.
Gross. How is your cat, by the way? I love that.
Great.
Love that cat. I remember you saying the funniest goddamn thing. It was one of those things that someone says, and me as observer of the way. Yeah, I brought this on before. I brought it up. I just want to get it, you know, recorded for the podcast. You're doing like a 2 to 3 day like event festy kind of thing at Mass, and so it was, you know, long days for everybody involved there, and especially you.
Yeah,
it's, you know, I think you had like, you had a stage outside and like shit inside.
Yeah,
and it was just, I think I popped in just saying hi, and I was just like, yeah, man, like I guess you're putting in some hours or something like that. And you just, and this was just. And I love when people say fucking hilarious things and they don't even, they're not even trying. It's just so organic.
Yeah.
I think where you were like, I was like, oh yeah, you're like, man, I was here all fucking day yesterday. I'm going to be here all goddamn day today. My cat's going to be fucking pissed. And I was just like, you were working and talking to a friend. That was it.
Yeah.
And that's just what came out. I was like, holy shit. That was one of the funniest fucking things.
I was dead serious.
Because I know it's serious because, you know, these little shits have personalities. And then, like, you go home, like, where the fuck have you been?
Yeah. And she is like, so orange females either are very reserved or they want to be around you all the time, and they keyword talk.
Yeah.
Like, my fist is in the air right now because I'm, my blood pressure. She talks so goddamn much, Brian. I'm telling you. I mean, right when I go to bed, it's just, she's upstairs in the kitchen, just in the middle of the kitchen, just meowing at nothing. Yeah. And I know a lot of other people.
Or maybe not. I always thought
it's ghosts or some shit.
And I've always, okay, there's people that experience like paranormal stuff and have. I haven't.
I haven't really either.
And I've always wondered, because I've always lived, growing up, we had, you know, a dog and, you know, a couple of cats.
Sure.
And then living with my, you know, the time I lived with my buddy, he had a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, living with Sarah for, you know, we've had, you know, a dog and number of cats.
Sure.
I've always wondered, I'm like, if you have, you know, not 100%, you know, good theory, but if you have an animal there, does that maybe keep the spirits at bay?
I don't know if it does that. I mean, maybe. I mean, it's just, I don't think that the animals know what the hell it is.
Or they, or like, they can see something we can't, or they can sense something we can't.
I know that they can sense stuff.
Or they're just a simple,
a simple
organism that
wants food from their
captive.
I think it's more than that, because, like, I mean, my house is 50 years old, which isn't that old, relatively. But, I mean, I'll see mine, she'll be standing, she'll just get up all of a sudden and walk to the stairs and just go down a few steps and just sit there, like, almost like she's being pet by somebody. You know, so, and other times, she'll get up and do that same thing, but she'll just go sit and just look up as if there's someone standing there, and she's looking at him, but there's nobody there.
And you're kind of looking at her like, could you please not do that? Because that just makes me think the worst.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can think about it.
This made me thankful I don't have stairs in my house, because that's right. That's a whole other level of
stairs are weird, creepy. Man. Yeah. When I moved into my house about 4 or 5 years ago, the whole house felt fine, but there was just something weird about the stairs.
Hmm.
I mean, I've never seen anything paranormal.
Yeah.
But like, I just felt like just an energy, like there was a dad that had a kid and his wife. It was like a 3-person household, and like he came home late from work one day and like lost a whole bunch of money or fucked up or like, and he was coming home and he had to go downstairs and tell his wife what happened. Like, and that's a lot, and that's like very
some bad
detailed
energy there,
but like that's just residual. What I felt it, and that's what popped into my head.
Yeah.
But then my roommate at the time came and he did the whole sage thing. And we opened all the windows and everything, and I didn't feel it after that. But I do from time to time, but I feel like it's kind of like a, hey, I'm still here, but I'm better now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's like we have an understanding. So I don't know. That's a whole nother
No. I like that shit because there's these things that are hard to put into words.
Sure.
You can only, trying to fucking translate. That is what art is for. Translate this fucking undecipherable feeling.
Yeah.
Into, it's like I completely get how your whole that scenario just popped into your ear.
Yeah.
And you had nothing to go off of just based on this weird energy of the stairs in your house.
Yeah.
That's it. But your mind, your instinct, your gut formulated this scenario.
Yeah. And it was always that. Never a question that it wasn't that.
Yeah.
Which is also weird. It's like, well, there aren't any other theories that I have? Well, no, there's not.
That's just the one that
came. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like, yeah.
I like how the brain just kind of makes that up and you're kind of like, no, that feels right.
Well, I mean, the world is a very strange place, and
I love that it is.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, if you're somebody that doesn't, like, that weirdness makes you uncomfortable, then the world is a very scary place, for someone like that. And then, if you're somebody that likes weirdness and just sees things for what they are and accepts that it's weird and that we don't understand, the world can be a very, not just an okay place, but a very entertaining place to observe, so there's kind of two ways to look at it, in a way. But yeah, the world is very, very weird. And I, I think it's, I enjoy it. I think it's fun.
Yeah. The people watching thing, that's
absolutely
always been fun. That's one thing I liked about my job was having this perspective, getting paid to stand. I went to bars, and that's fine, but actually I had to like do stuff.
Right.
But standing in gas stations
for I bet.
4 or 5, maybe 6 hours at a time. And so I felt bad because I was being insanely over, paid way more than the clerks actually working and like ringing up people and, getting their food together,
because whatever the hell,
cigarettes or what, actually working and going out and cleaning, and I'm just standing there waiting for someone to buy cigarettes or something, but I got to watch just the clerks but also the people in line,
mm-hmm.
and it was just it was literally like I was like a sociologist.
Yeah.
Like just sitting in a chair observing. But I wasn't. That would have been suspicious. I already looked weird and suspicious as it was, but at least I had like a lanyard and it was.
Lanyards are always going to work.
Official. Yeah. It's either Wayne's World 1 or 2. No, 1, where they're just going to see Alice Cooper and just pointing their backstage pass because there's something about a lanyard that's just like, no, I have to be here.
Yeah. Lanyard or a ladder. You can get in anywhere.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So.
But watching people at gas stations and just and then for a while I had my buddy hired on and we'd be working in separate locations, but I was nice that I had a couple of buddies I got hired on and
so Emilio,
that was what he got hired on. Just I had a comedy buddy, a comic I got hired on, and then my friend Philip.
Oh yeah, Jesse's brother.
Jesse Gage's brother.
Nice.
And so it was great to have, and also just like making friends with like Emilio, coworker.
Yeah, he's great.
So you could like text and talk to these people to where it's, some weird shit that they've observed at a gas station.
Nice.
Because I think I have like a rule, unless you are working there or you have to be there because maybe you're, fixing a device, for there, you're paid to be there to do a job. I don't think you should be in a gas station for longer. And let's say, I'm not saying, you have to use the bathroom or something.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be in a gas station longer than like 10 to 12 minutes.
And see, I think that's long.
Well, maybe you got, some kids with you and it's taking a while. Like, go get the thing. No, you can't. I didn't say you could get that. You can get one thing. So, give a little bit of time depending on, the given scenario. But beyond that, you're a fucking loser.
Yeah.
And I get some people may not have a place to go. I completely understand. But just seeing this for years, because there's some people you're just like, all right, can you get a life? There's people that bring in. So there's people that will do scratch offs and they'll go over to the side. They'll scratch it off or they'll go to their car and they'll come back in because maybe they want a dollar. And, you want a dollar and a scratch off. You just go get yourself another scratch off.
Right.
Fuck it. see if you can make that, you know, turn it to $5 or $10 or $100, whatever. But for some reason, I would just get very mad at these people. And I, like, in my head.
Forever.
Yeah, well, it does, like, they're in nobody's way. They're not even in my way. Sometimes people would go and, like, say I'm just wandering around because I'm bored. They would go and, like, stand and do their scratch off or fill out their, you know, lotto, you know, slip.
Right.
Where I need to stand. Oh, so shit. That's where I was like, it got personal. I was like, you fucking asshole.
This is my one spot.
They didn't know.
Spot.
Yeah. That's my one spot. They didn't know I need to stand there. Whatever. But then say these people got a scratch off and they go to their car and come back in and get another scratch off.
Around.
And I would see them do this like 5, 7, 10 times. And in my head, I got so fucking angry at them. I'm just like, just go home. Just go to Shreveport already. Or, oh. And then there's people that well, they play
know.
The lotto, not scratch offs, but like the Mega Millions. And it, my buddy Philip, I was just, you know, kind of bitching about how it, like I just did. And he was just like, oh, yeah, then there's the people that play the lotto, but they walk in with, like, a folder of, like, you know, maybe it's like they don't have, like, this, you know, this arithmetic and calculus they've done to Rain Man their way into millions. No,
right.
It's just like they have, like, slips already in there. Maybe they're pre-filled out. They come in with a fucking folder.
Like a fucking three-ring binder with.
Yeah, well,
baseball cards.
Something
only
maybe with Brad's in there.
Not,
nothing
slips.
Nothing that hardcore. Nothing with, you know, hard cardboard, you know. You know, but just like a simple folder. But still, like, you walk into the gas station with a folder.
Yeah,
and it's not so, like a work order or something
like
that.
It's like they're serving somebody.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, you here to do some serious business?
No, not really.
But it was just kind of those people. And then people just kind of hung out and... I knew gas stations were getting weird. I want to say, you know, with the job I had, I noticed a change. I want to say I was when, like, 7-Eleven maybe was the first.
Mm-hmm.
When they started, I knew something was wrong when they started making pizza.
Yeah.
So I'm like, who the fuck wants, I was like, who goes to a gas station and it's just like, ooh, pizza. I get it because plenty of people are like, let me get this. Oh, yeah, can I get a slice of pizza as well? I get the business decision. But, and I was just like, okay. That's where I was like, this so-called convenience store is not, is becoming not so convenient these days. Because I'm like. It should
always,
be, I got my shit, I want to pay and leave.
Right. Well, like, when AllSups did it, it was fine. Like, with their burritos.
Yeah.
You know, because they've always done it.
Yeah.
But 7-Eleven got in the game a little bit late, I think, is part of the problem. I mean, if you order a pizza from them, I'm sure you've seen it.
A whole pizza.
They go to the freezer, they get a Tony's probably out of there. They unwrap it, they put it in their oven, and it's done in, like, 6 minutes. I mean...
I want to say less.
Yeah.
It's probably
less. And
but when someone orders a whole pizza, and there's, like, three people in line, and that's the only clerk, then you're just like... that's when I get mad.
They have to do that, too.
Yeah. And that's where I'm just like, okay, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Really, did you have to order a whole pizza? And then or people order shit ahead of time, and I'm just... there's been people that have come and, like, picked up a Grubhub, you know, Uber Eats.
Right.
So.
People Uber Eats, that's another side topic, but think about that. From 7-Eleven.
So, at 7-Eleven specifically, they'll have, like, this phone device where it has the most, I'm pretty sure 7-Eleven clerks have fever dreams where the sound plays because there's an order coming through and they got to put together the order. Because it's like Uber Eats or someone ordered ahead of time.
Yeah.
There's people that have ordered like one thing. Let's just say like an energy drink.
Oh, my God.
And then so Uber Eats will come and pick that up and drive it. So this person has paid, I don't know, $13, $15 for one energy drink that costs like two or three.
Yeah.
And all you can imagine, like the only scenario I can imagine is some doofus playing a video game that just cannot, something live. That he, online. So I'm just like, he's just like, oh, he ran out. And the most he can be inconvenienced is, you know, back, not looking at the door, but backing his way while still staring at the screen and just opening the door. Be like, yeah, thanks, whatever. And that's the only scenario where that would make sense. He's still an idiot for doing that.
Yeah. I mean, because order more.
Yeah.
You know.
You're not hungry at all, or you just, you know, methed out on, you know, energy drinks.
Right. Right. I mean, he's, yeah.
Now, it's gone, not...
Is that like a weird flex? I hate to think like probably. That, but I mean, it is 2023.
Like whatever, I'm mining Bitcoin.
I'm going to order one
I'm mining
thing.
Bitcoin as this happens anyway. So
yeah, yeah, fuck it.
But this then you have, now, I don't know if it's to their credit or not, then you have places like Racetrack and QT that are just like, oh, we're not, we got clerks that are going to ring up people. Oh, QT is fucking amazing at just they're, like, what you got? I get you over here. But like, okay, you still understand the concept of a convenience store. But then they also have a kitchen.
Yeah, they
and
do now.
Big letters that say kitchen. And you're like, now, so the clerk's not inconvenienced with your kitchen order because you just order it there and go pick it up when because they have a dedicated person there, which is like fine.
Yeah.
But it's still weird that these convenience stores are branching out into, it's like, oh, do you want to, like, you want a sub? You want a sub sandwich while you're here?
Yeah,
you want
sandwiches.
You want a Philly cheesesteak? While you wait, and I was like, you know, I wasn't thinking about it, but, you know.
Well, would you say that's as weird as, like, when Kmart used to have, you know, the place in there where you could get pretzels and pizza and ices and fries and...
I wouldn't say, no.
Or Costco has
because
the pretzels.
Because you're
going
to spend a lot of time there.
That's true. So it makes more
especially
sense
especially if you
there,
have, like, a
stations.
Kid and they're getting
okay.
shitty...
Yeah, I feel
you. If you go to like you know, Kmart, Costco with the family, you're dropping like an hour two, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
So you need that there.
Yeah, you need supplements while you're...
But in gas stations where, you know, unless, you know, I think QT like pays okay. And, you know, Buc-ee's, you know, rare small example. That Buc-ee's is its own beast. That, I don't care.
Yeah.
There's not... You know, there's some Buc-ee's around, but they can do what they want because they're, you know, it's an attraction at some point. It's also gotten so busy, I don't bother going there. Maybe. I say that.
Well, you know.
Okay, I'm lying. I will go to the Buc-ee's, but I'm not enjoying it.
It's fun every
when
now
they have
and
a guy there directing bathroom traffic, I'm just like, oh, okay, can you need to build an overflow Buc-ee's.
Well, how do you think he feels about his life?
Yeah.
Hey, honey. Yeah, I was directing the bathroom today.
Oh, he's okay because I see the chart when I leave of how much they get paid. You know, he's just got to get promoted. He's out. He's up to 18 an hour.
Oh,
that guy's
shit.
Fine. Now, the person working at a Murphy, I've never seen a company just completely beat down their employees than those at Murphy's.
Murphy's is
7-Eleven still sucks, but at least it's, you know, it's not Murphy's.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. I think... QT Racetrackers, you know, I think like QT, they're kind of like, hey, stick with us. You're going to get some kind of insurance. Probably
yeah.
going to suck, but, you know, there's opportunity.
Yeah.
There's minimal opportunity at a 7-Eleven. And a Murphy, go fuck yourself. That
yeah.
that place. I saw a sign at a Murphy. We'd work at Murphy's a lot. Murphy Express or Murphy USA, doesn't matter. All the same goddamn
matter.
One. One
yeah.
takes Walmart gift cards, one does not. And people are not happy with that answer when they need it. I saw a sign there that says, like, Murphy USA, we're always hiring.
Yeah, I
and
wonder
I'm like,
why.
Yo, maybe your turnover is high because you fucking suck as a business. Yeah, you got cheap gas and supposedly cheap smokes, even though I can find my smokes cheaper at Racetrack, I found out. But I'm just like, yeah, there's no shit you're always hiring. And, you know, this Murphy I've been coming to for years, there's no one left from when I was here 6 months ago.
Yeah.
There's a great reason why. You pay shit and your GMs work 80 hours a week. Unless you have a dedicated general manager at a Murphy, then it's a shit show. Or the general manager's working 80-hour weeks because he has people leaving because they can't pay them anymore.
Like 20% of the suicide rates are Murphy employees?
Probably, man.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. It's.
Well, and I just love... And so you have that, and then you know, going back to like QT or a Racetrack. So, and the food thing. So the range of things you can do at one of those places is leave your baby.
Yeah.
And after you leave your baby, you can go get a whole pizza and a milkshake and go home all in one stop yeah. and get gas if you need it. Get rid of your kid, get a pizza, get gas, go home. It's like, I mean, what kind of day is that? You know,
America.
It's the one stop
America,
shop.
Baby.
The
yeah.
one stop shop. Is becoming gas stations.
Or you could just make do like what are they like Circle K's, something like that, some other places that just fuck it. We just have a Subway here. Cuz
yeah.
Subways are everywhere. I'm surprised you don't have a Subway in here.
Oh, shit.
I did like a dumb like Facebook post that was like, I was like, man, these Subways are everywhere. They just opened up one in my hall closet.
Right. And we do have a hot dog roller.
Oh, okay.
So there's that.
Oh, that's some of the saddest fucking food I've ever seen.
Oh, I know.
You're just like, how long has that been going there?
Yeah, I always pull the ones that say they're not cooked yet because you know they're cooked. They haven't got time to switch them over yet. And those are usually, you know, they make me feel better about myself.
I've always said if depression has a smell, it's burnt 7-Eleven food.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've seen just like those sad little fucking tacos and just old, hot, dry pizza slices.
Ugh.
It's just... it's a sad state of affairs. But you know what isn't? Having this conversation. This
is
fun.
Yeah, it's been a great
here
thing.
At Blackstone Recording Studio, or just Blackstone, subsidiary of BlackRock, I can only assume.
Sure, yeah. not the grills either, not Blackstone Grills.
Oh, okay. But check out this place if they have a open house, or form a band. If you have a band, come lay down some licks. Record your album here at Blackstone and have Mark Randall touch them buttons, them ones and twos.
Cheers. And Nick Tittle.
And Nick Tittle, yes. Go check out Arinda Light and his other bands.
Yeah.
But thanks for doing what you do, man.
Likewise.
Fort Worth music, it hums thanks to people like you.
Cheers.
And your endeavors.
And same to you, buddy. We've been friends for a minute, and this has been fun rehashing.
Oh, it has, man. All right. Thanks a lot, dude.
Yep.
All right, Breckening Podcast coming to an end. Check out all the other episodes, plenty of other interviews. Thanks, guys. Like, download, subscribe, Apple, Spotify, whatever. You know how to do it.